Matthew 10, verses 5 through 8. Yeshua sent these 12 out and commanded them, saying, "Don't go among the Gentiles, and don't enter into any city of the Samaritans. Rather, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers." Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, give your rabbi some grapes. Freely you received, so freely. Thank you.
That's on the recording now. Oh. The rabbi's eating grapes.
Oh, good.
Put your shoes back on, rabbi.
Too much dust from my feet. Oh. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Freely you receive, so freely give. Okay. So, why not to the Gentiles? Why not to the Samaritans? We know that this is, even from this very chapter, we know that this is to come, okay? This branching out beyond Israel is to come. So, let's see. Let's just a little later on in the chapter. He talks about, oh my goodness gracious, where is it? Verse 18, Matthew 10, 18. "Yes, and you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them and to the nations." Okay, a testimony to those kings and governors and to the nations. That's going to happen. Right now, stay with Israel. Okay, but why? I think different people have different theories about this. And I think what makes the most sense to me is this. Yeshua had to be understood in a Jewish context, because you miss so much when you take him out of that Jewish context. Mm-hmm. Okay, for example, churches that don't really understand or appreciate the Jewish context. Churches who say, oh, the church has replaced Judaism, it's all just brand new stuff. Okay? Yeshua came, there's a new covenant. Yes, there's a new covenant. There's always that debate. How connected with the old covenant is it? Those who say, bam, it's just all brand new. They don't understand that connection, and so they still can understand Yeshua to an extent, but not to a full extent. And this is what I think is so powerful about Messianic Judaism, what we need to understand. This is not a Jewish-flavored Christianity. We have a genuine teaching and a call to the world and to the church. For example, if I don't understand the Jewish context of what's going on here, am I going to understand that Yeshua is coming to extend the blessings of Abraham, right? Genesis 12:3, we read about, "I'll bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse." Or in the Akedah, okay? And this was one of the Torah portions for Rosh Hashanah. God tells Abraham, take your son up to Mount Moriah and slay him there, okay? And so we see a little bit later on, after he's willing to do that, God stops him, don't hurt your son, okay? And then instead you have the ram caught in the thicket, which of course is a beautiful picture of vicarious atonement through something else, and it was fulfilled in Yeshua. But also we have this beautiful promise of God. Verse 16, Genesis 22:16. God said, "By myself I swear, It is a declaration of Adonai. Because you have done this thing, and you did not withhold your son, your only son, I will richly bless you and bountifully multiply your seed like the stars of heaven and like the sand that is on the seashore, and your seed will possess the gate of his enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you obeyed my voice. Are we going to understand this blessing to Abraham and the covenant with Abraham extending to the nations? And Paul picks up on this big time in Galatians, for example, the Galatians 3, that Messiah became a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Messiah, Yeshua, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, might come to the nations. Right? And so, are we going to understand that if we just say, bam, everything's brand new, forget the Jewish context of it all? No, we're not going to have a full understanding of that. Deuteronomy 18:18 through 19, we have the promise of the prophet that would be like Moses, right? So let's see here. Deuteronomy 18:18 through 19 says, I will raise up a prophet like you for them among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them all that I command him. Now, whoever does not listen to my words that this prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. Okay? Who's the prophet? Who's the prophet? Let's look at the end of Deuteronomy 34:9 through 12. Okay, and this is a teaching I've given before. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. Ah, maybe he's the prophet like Moses. But let's see. For Moses had laid his hands on him. So B'nai Yisrael, the children of Israel, listened to him and did just as Adonai had commanded Moses. Looking pretty good for Joshua until we get to verse 10. There has not arisen again a prophet in Israel like Moses. Joshua wasn't it, okay? Whom Adonai knew face to face. With all the signs and wonders Adonai sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, all his servants, and all his land, by the strong hand and great awe that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. So not only was Joshua not it, but some of the phraseology here, when it's studied, and I've done this study before, I'm not going to go back into it now, this was added on to the book of Deuteronomy at a later date, okay? This wasn't the day after Moses died, okay? Then this would mean nothing. There has not yet arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses. Okay, well, it was just yesterday, you know? So this was added on later on. And so, and we see John 1:21, they're still looking for the prophet, okay? Because they ask Yochanan HaMatvil, John the Baptist, are you the prophet? Okay? John 1:21. What then? Are you Elijah? They asked him. I am not, said John. Are you the prophet? No, he answered. They're still looking for the prophet in Yeshua's day, right? So, are we going to understand his role as prophet if we don't understand Moses? Okay, and obviously he's greater than Moses, and we can talk about as many differences as similarities between Yeshua and Moses, but his ministry and his authority, though dwarfing Moses, we still understand something of Yeshua by understanding Moses. Are we going to understand Yeshua if we don't understand him as the son of David, the one to whom was promised the eternal kingdom? 2 Samuel 7, 12, and 13. Or the divine one that would sit on the throne of David, Isaiah 9, 6, or 9, 5 in Jewish Bibles. Are we going to understand Yeshua if we don't understand the office of the high priest and the sacrifices? So let's look at Hebrews 7, 26 through 28. For such a Kohen Gadol, such a high priest, was fitting for us, holy, guiltless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need to offer up sacrifices day by day like those other Kohanim Gedolim, like the other high priests, first for their own sins, then for the sins of the people. For when he offered up himself, he did this once for all. For the Torah appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the Torah appoints a son made perfect forever. So the book of Hebrews is talking about his role of high priest and how he's so much greater than the high priests, right? How he differs from them, but he fulfills their role perfectly. Are we going to understand Yeshua if we don't understand this? So I think when he's saying, go to the household of Israel, he wants a following within Israel that will understand him better than somebody from Rome or Alexandria or, Babylon or whatever. He came to Israel because Israel will understand him best. Romans 9, 4 and 5. Who are Israelites? To them belong the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the Torah and the temple service and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, the Messiah who is over all, God, blessed forever. Amen. Okay? So this belongs to the Israelites. Now, most of Israel did not receive Yeshua, but enough did that a pure teaching about him, understanding him as the high priest, understanding him as the perfect son of David, understanding him as the perfect sacrifice, understanding him whose words we need to tremble at because he's the perfect prophet. There was a remnant that believed, that put together the scriptures for us and taught truth. We can't get this much truth from the Gentiles just because they didn't have the background, right? So it had to come to the Jews first so that a pure and full understanding, at least as full as possible understanding of the Messiah, might be grounded in a remnant who would then become the teachers of the following generations. The church, of course, lost this, right? And we're trying to, in Messianic Judaism, reestablish this. Our focus is Messiah. Our focus is not let's be Jews into which we fit Messiah. Our focus is let's be Jews and Gentiles together who understand the fullness of Messiah because of our connection with the Jewish roots, right? And so any Jewish roots teacher out there, and there are some that we need to stay away from, any Jewish roots teacher out there who does not focus first and foremost on Messiah and how Torah points to, some of them teach as if Yeshua came to point back to Moses, okay? And we need to be careful about that, right? If they teach you how Yeshua pointed back to Moses, we understand Moses better because Yeshua is a Torah teacher, as if Moses is up here and Yeshua is down there teaching us what Moses meant. We need to stay away from that. Right, Moses helps us understand Yeshua, the goal, and of all this. Okay, so anyway, that's my take on it. Why he said, "Don't go to them yet." Right, we find out later on. Yes, it's going to go to the nations, but right now I need a remnant in Israel that's going to be the leaders and the teachers of the next generation. Okay, questions, comments? Nope. Okay, good. Let's see. As you go, proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We've talked about that. The kingdom of heaven is one of freedom. The kingdom of heaven is one of the lower ones being exalted and those who are high and mighty and being humbled, right? The kingdom of heaven is one of God's blessings rather than blessings from the world, as we read about in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. So we've talked about the kingdom of heaven before. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Freely you received, so freely give. Okay, so you're not to charge for the message. Now, we see a couple verses later, they're to be taken care of, right? Mm-hmm. They are, and we'll talk about that more next week when we get into those passages. So those who make their living, those who are sent out, should be supported. It's kind of your way of going out yourself. You can't because you got your jobs or whatever, but you support others to go out for you, and they're worthy of their food, okay? They're worthy of their wages. We'll talk about that more next week. But he didn't say to the disciples, you know, if you pay me $10, I'll sit down with half an hour and teach you about the kingdom of heaven, right? He brought them into the kingdom of heaven freely. And so we are to deliver it freely. This is not the focus is not the pay. The focus is getting the kingdom of heaven out there to the others. Okay? Any questions? No. Nope.